Hello and welcome to the Toras Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian and today we'll be studying Tehillim Perek Samach Zion 67. This is a short and sweet perek with lots of content. It consists of 8 psukim with no composer listed, although it most likely was David HaMelech, according to most Mefarshim. The Malbim contends that this Mizmar was related to the famine during David HaMelech's time. We had mentioned this famine and the blessing of bounty and rain in Perek Samach Hei. The words, interestingly, the words of this Mizmar have been traditionally shaped into a menorah. Some shuls have this illustration, have the words of this perek shaped into this illustration. Some sidurim have this diagram. It's almost like a micrography type of diagram. And the reason is because the structure and length of each pasuk allows for this mizmar to be shaped as such, with the exception of the first pasuk, which is an introduction. The 7 remaining psukim form the 7 branches of the menorah. So Pasuk Beis and Ches form the 2 outer branches. They are actually mirror images of each other, both in length and in content, if you look through the Psukim. Psukim Gimel and Zion form the next 2 branches, you know, from left to right, etc. With Pasuk Hey, the longest, forming the middle branch and base. If this is confusing, look in your Sidurim, or you can actually Google, Perek, Samach Zaperek 67 Tehillim Menorah, and you will see images of what I am referring to. In any case, this diagram with this Mizmor of Tehillim was etched on the shield of David HaMelech, according to the Chidah. Very interesting. This Mizmor is also found before Myriv in the Siddur, as well as before Sfiras HaOmer. There is a pasuk within this Perek that speaks of Hashem's bounty, which thematically connects to Sfiras HaOmer. The beginning of the Omer, on the second night of Pesach, the Karban Omer was brought with the first produce, namely barley, and we culminate the appreciation of Hashem's bounty by bringing the Karban of Shtei Halechem, made from wheat on Shavuos. So that's the thematic connection between this Perek and Sfiras HaOmer. Incredibly, this Mizmor has 49 words corresponding to the 49 days of Sfira, not counting the introductory phrase. And Pasuk Hey, which we said forms the middle branch of this menorah diagram, has 49 letters, if you include the vavs in the words that are written chaser, meaning the cholams that are written without a vav, you include those vavs, and the amount of letters equal 49 in Pasuk Hey. As in previous prakim, the mizmorim about the future time of Mashiach, this perek as well can be looking into the future time when Mashiach will arrive and the entire world will recognize Hashem's greatness. So Pasuk Aleph Lamanatzeach Beneginos Mizmor Shir. And the second Pasuk is actually an echo of Birchas Kohanim. The bracha is found in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Naso, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chuneka, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. And here our pasuk states, Elokim yechanenu v'varchenu, Ya'er panav itanu sela. Hashem favor us and bless us. May He display His bright countenance on us. Favor us, bless us, shine His countenance. These are words in English which do not capture the essence. So let's try to tackle some of the words their implications. We will look at the explanations that are provided within this parak of Tehillim, as well as those in Parshas Naso, where Birchas Kohanim is found. So Elokim Yechanenu. Chanenu can be associated with the word chinam, free, as in the words Ve'eschanan el Hashem, Moshe prayed to Hashem Ve'eschanan for a matnas chinam, a free gift, to be allowed entry into Eretz Yisrael, even if he is not deserving. So the Sfarno says, Yechanenu, bring the geula, even if we are not deserving. Give it to us for free, so to speak. Yig'al osanu bilti ru'ulim lazeh derechin. Rav Eliyahu Monk explains the words in Birchas Kohanim, Vichuneka, that Hashem should give you chen. He says it implies a graciousness that goes beyond rational analysis. And the truth is, we encounter the word chen numerous times within Tanakh, which is a topic unto itself. The most famous example, probably, is Esther Hamalka, Vatehi Esther noses chen be'enei kol ro'eha. So the idea of chen is that there's a certain graciousness that a person exudes. I am sure that we all know people who are described as one who has chen, a certain stature and grace. So this is a bracha that others should find graciousness in us, or as a people, that the world should see the chen in the Jewish nation. Rav Hirsch comments that the word chen implies intellectual ability. He speaks at length about this in Sefer Bamidbar relating to Birchas Kohanim, and he speaks about it here in Sefer Tehillim as well. It means having the wisdom and the insight to understand what is expected of us and how to extract the lessons of the Torah in a real and practical way. So Elokim Yechanenu, Hashem, please bless us with the wisdom to understand how I fit in and what my role is. You know, sometimes we become confused about what our roles should be. How do I balance my roles that I have? Perhaps I misidentified my role. Perhaps I do need to go out to work. Perhaps I need to work less. Perhaps I need to do more community chesed. Perhaps I need to do less community chesed because of home pressures. We all need clarity and wisdom about what is expected of us. Elokim Yechanenu. And this understanding dovetails with the bracha that we say in Shmona Esrei, says Rav Hirsch. Atachonein l'adam da'as. Atachonein. So you grant us, but it's wisdom, but the word that's used is chonein. So it's clearly the word chonein is used in association with da'as, with knowledge. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah illustrates another facet of the word chen in the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. And it goes as follows. V'choneka, yitein b'chem da'as, shetihiyu chonenim ze es ze umrachamim ze es ze. What a beautiful idea. Grant us the wisdom. Yitein b'chem da'as, that you should have the wisdom and the insight to be able to deal compassionately with others. Dealing compassionately requires not just patience, but a lot of wisdom. We don't want to say the wrong thing at a shiva house or to a person in crisis, and we certainly want the wisdom to deal compassionately and smartly with our loved ones. The word vivarchenu, how do we understand this word that rolls right off of our lips, a bracha? Hashem should bless us. Hashem, who is the source of all blessings, like a brecha, a pond of water that sustains, Hashem should sustain us. And we look to the commentaries in Birchas Kohanim to gain more insight. We need physical bounty and sustenance in order to survive and serve Hashem. And therefore, we ask for the sustenance and the bracha of Arichos Yamim, that we want to live in order to serve Hashem, says the Ibn Ezra. And the Emek Davar adds another layer of meaning, that whatever blessings we have in the way of material possessions, we should have the wisdom to use it wisely. Again, the wisdom that is necessary to navigate life. You know, I once saw a statistic that 70% of lottery winners end up going bankrupt because they have no idea, they don't have the wisdom as to how to manage their newfound money. So if I win the lottery, I will say these words with extra kavana. Hey, you never know. And finally, Ya'er Panav. Rashi tells us here, Lahar Os Panim Sochakos Lat. La seis tal umatar, Hashem should show us a smiling countenance and provide water and dew, that we should have sustenance through the rain that gives us produce. In Parshas Naso, Rashi comments similarly on the words Ya'er Hashem panav elecha, re'ei lecha panim sochakos, panim tzuvos. Hashem should show us smiling and sunny yellow faces, meaning that Hashem should withhold his anger and act towards us with rachamim. In Pasuk Gimel, David asks for these brachos for what purpose? As you could all guess, David's first concern is to spread God awareness. Lada'as ba'aretz darkecha, v'chol goyim yeshua secha. Why do we ask for these brachos? So that everyone will know your ways, Hashem, and how you act towards Klal Yisrael with kindness and justice. Events seem chaotic. When you show favor to Bnei Yisrael, the world will understand that indeed there is an order and a structure, and they will begin to understand your path, darkecha. As the Radak points out, in Sefer Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu tells us about the mindset of the world when Mashiach comes. Kimileya ha'aret deya es Hashem. The world will be full of knowledge of Hashem. Imagine a world where the knowledge of sports figures will be replaced with the knowledge of Torah, and where the thirst for anything intellectual will be sated through the lens of Hashem. Pasuk Dalid, Yoducha Amim Elokim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. The nations will praise you or acknowledge you, Hashem. Well, the nations will acknowledge you, all of them. Pasuk Hey, Yismachu, Virananu, Umim, Kisishpot Amim Mishar, Ulumim, Ba'aretz Tanchem Sela. All of the nations will sing for joy. Why? What is at the heart of their joy? Kisishpot Amim Mishar. Because you will judge the nations with fairness. Ba'aretz Tanchem Sela, and you will guide the nations. The source of the simcha of the nations is justice. We know how frustrating and unsettling it is to live in a society that is not just. It's just not fair. We declare this from the time we are little kids. Well, in the time of Mashiach, the entire population will live in a just and fair society. Hard to imagine, I know. Pasuk Vav, we declare what we have said in Pasuk Dalid, that the nations will acknowledge Hashem. And Pasuk Zion, Eretz nasna yivula yivarchenu elokim elokeinu. There will be no more world hunger. The land will give forth its produce. Bless us, Hashem. In the time of Mashiach, there will be no more sin, says the Radak, and therefore the land will give forth. Recall that in Shema we say that if we follow Hashem, then v'nasati matar tzachem be'ito, the rain will come and then we will be satisfied. And if not, then va'atzaras hashamayim v'lo yematar v'hadama lo sitein esivula. There will be no rain and no produce if we do not follow the tenets of the Torah. Here we look forward to the opposite condition of plenty, eretz nasna yivula, in the time of Mashiach. And finally, pasuk ches yivarchenu elokim v'yiru aso kol afsei aretz. Hashem should shower us with blessing, and as a result, all ends of the earth will fear him. So this is a universal message of the recognition of Hashem by all mankind in the time of Mashiach. As an end note, just a few words about the concept of waiting for Mashiach. The question that we can ask ourselves, are we waiting for Mashiach because we want a resolution to our personal problems? Like a magic genie that will give us what we want. As we have seen throughout our learning, wherever there is talk of Acharis Hayamim, it is speaking about the whole world recognizing the world of Hashem and people praising Hashem's name. There's a very thought-provoking article by Rav Aaron Lopiansky on this topic. It was an article that was featured in Mishpacha a few years ago, and it's called Sometimes Mashiach is Not the Answer. I highly suggest you find this article and download it and read it. So I'm just going to quote a couple of things that Rav Lopiansky says to really give us food for thought. And he says, when we describe Mashiach as solving our health issues, shidduch crisis, legal issues, and so on, we are looking for a solution to a personal issue. Our yearning has nothing to do with Mashiach. It has to do with our blood pressure, our bank account, the IRS, or our child waiting for a shidduch. And he continues, I'm just giving you excerpts. So what is Mashiach and what in fact should we be eagerly awaiting? And he gives 4 points and he expands on them. I'm going to give you the 4 points that he says. Number one, Mashiach will restore our nationhood by reinstating a central authority. Number two, Mashiach will restore the wholeness of the Jewish people. Number three, Mashiach will restore Torah to Klal Yisrael. And number four, Mashiach will restore the divine presence. And then he continues and he gives a beautiful mashal. And he says, imagine that you're at a wedding of very fine people. At the end of the wedding, as you wish mazel tov to one of the mechutanim, he remarks, I wish that my late parents were alive and with us today. Your eyes mist and you cluck sympathetically. And he continues, because they would have picked up the bill. What would you think of him? When we wish for Mashiach to pay our bills, heal our ailments, or help us with any other of our myriad needs, is that called yearning for Mashiach? This feeling like the painful hollowness and sorrow we experience when we attend a simcha where a family member is missing, that's yearning for Mashiach. As we look around, a great void fills us. The surrounding laughter and gaiety throws into stark relief the pain and emptiness that we feel. And we say to ourselves, what's the point of it? He's not here, nor is his presence felt. That is yearning for Mashiach. We look forward to that day when we will experience the true joy of discerning a just and fair society where the whole world will rejoice. Yismachu v'rananu l'umim, ki sishpot amim mishar, ul'umim ba'aretz, Tanchim Sela. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmos, Helen Moskovitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II She'eris HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.